Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
Today we are going to deal with the subject of bitterness. Bitterness. And our text is going to come from the book of Ruth. We'll actually look at verses in all three or four chapters. In the book of Ruth, you're dealing with a man named Elimelech, Ruth chapter 1, verse 2, who has a wife named Naomi, and they have two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. They are from Bethlehem, Judah. They left Bethlehem, Judah to go to Moab because of a famine. And while they were there, Mahlon and Chilion both married. One of them married a woman named Orpah, and the other one married a woman named Ruth, from which we get the title of this book. According to Ruth chapter 4, verse 10, Ruth had been married to Mahlon. Therefore, Orpah had been married to Chilion. Now, sadly, while they were in Moab, Elimelech died, Mahlon died, and Chilion died. So that Naomi was left with just her two daughters-in-law, and they were both Moabite women. And if you know something about your Bible, that is a fix, because Moabites weren't to come into the congregation of the Lord. So after a period of time, Naomi decided to leave Moab. That's Ruth chapter 1, verse 6. And return to her country. And before she left, she tried to convince her daughters-in-law that they should stay in Moab, and that way she would go back as a widow. She wouldn't have anybody. She wouldn't have her two daughters-in-law. She wouldn't have her sons, of course. They're dead. She wouldn't have her husband. He's dead. So she would be childless. Her inheritance would end up going to a next of kin. I mean, it was a sad situation, really a sad situation. When she gets back to her country, when she gets to Bethlehem in Ruth chapter 1, verse 19, the Bible says all the city was moved about them, and they said, "Is this Naomi?" And she said unto them, verse 20, "Call me not Naomi." Her name, Naomi, means pleasant. She said, "Call me not Naomi, call me Mara." That name means bitter. Why? Because she says in verse 20, For the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. So we're going to study what happened in Naomi's life. And by studying what happened in Naomi's life, we're going to find out about bitterness, just some things about it. And we're going to find out some things you can do to keep from getting swallowed up in bitterness or get over the bitterness that you have. Okay? Now, the problem is that every one of us in life goes through an experience that can cause us to be bitter, and the bitterness can get so severe it can destroy us. That's why we need to look at it. And listen, if you haven't lived long enough or experienced something bad enough to make you bitter yet, keep on living, as the old preacher said. Because there's always something in everybody's life that brings them to this point that Naomi got to. Now, hopefully you'll never get to that point the same way she did. I'll say that there are others that have got to that point by going through stuff that was worse than she went through even. Nevertheless, you might say, and I would agree, Naomi certainly had every good reason to be bitter. The death of her husband, the death of her two sons, and now she's come back and she has a Moabite woman, a daughter-in-law with her. Pretty tough situation. Pretty tough situation. So let's talk about bitterness today. Let's examine it from the life of Naomi. We'll make 4 points about bitterness and what it does to you. And then we'll make 3 or 4 points about what you can do to shake it, to get past it, to go on. Now, the first thing we'd like to say about bitterness today is this. Bitterness goes with you wherever you go. Look here in Ruth chapter 1, verse 7. Verse 6 for the context. Then she, that is Naomi, arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. In other words, the famine is broken. Verse 7, wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return into the land of Judah. Now, may I tell you something? A lot of times people believe they can change their geographic location or they can change their home. In other words, move out of this house, move to another house. They can change jobs. They can change something about their lives. And that by making a change, they can somehow or another erase the bitterness that's in their heart. But I'm going to tell you, if you are bitter over something that happened in your life, leaving your home to go to another house, or leaving your city to go to another city, or changing jobs, changing locales, is not going to change your heart. It might give you some circumstances, and maybe even a few new friends, that will temporarily mollify the bitterness, but you're going to find, particularly in the dark of the night and in the depths of your heart, that the bitterness is still there. You know why? Because it's deep down inside of you. Hebrews chapter 12 says it is a root, all right, a root, so it gets way down inside of you, and this root will travel with you wherever you go. You may get a temporary reprieve from the bitterness, but that's all you're going to get, because you still have to deal with your heart and changing your home, changing your job, changing your location, changing your husband, okay, is not going to change your heart. You're the only one, you are the only one who can change your heart. Nobody else can do that for you. You have to deal with your personal bitterness. So the first thing we want to understand about bitterness is you cannot change the exterior circumstances and relationships and hope somehow that bitterness will go away. Here's the second thing. Not only does bitterness go with you wherever you go, but bitterness puts a wedge between you and your loved ones. In other words, there are people in your life who love you, and who, by virtue of their love, want to be near you, even in your time of bitterness, to console you, okay, to console you and help you. They can't make the bitterness go away, but they can help you as you are dealing with the bitterness by being a support, by being a help, by being there for you on one of those really low days where you just don't even feel like getting out of bed or cooking a meal. They can take care of that for you. Okay, they can't change the bitterness. You have to change that, but they can make it easier. And that's a huge blessing, but bitterness will put a wedge between you and your loved ones where you're trying to get them out of your life. Look at verse 8. Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, I'm talking about Ruth chapter 1, verse 8. Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, that's spiritual, each of you in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee and unto thy people. And Naomi persisted, and eventually, she convinced Orpah to go back. In verse 14, Ruth chapter 1, verse 14, they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, and Ruth clave unto her. Okay? So Naomi wanted to go this alone. She didn't want him around. And bitterness is that way. I've watched bitterness in the lives of people, and there are people there who are supportive. There are people there that love them. There's a church there that loves them. A pastor there that loves them, wants to help them. And they do everything in their bitterness that they possibly can to put such a wedge there that nobody else can reach them or help them. And you know why they do that? When you're bitter, you know why you do that? You do that because you are sucked into your bitterness, and your bitterness, Hebrews chapter 12 says, is a root that springing up defiles many. And in a strange way, you don't want to hurt them anymore, all right, than they may already have been hurt by some of your behavior that results from the bitterness that's inside of your heart. So you kind of want to spare them from that. That's sort of a noble thing about wanting to separate these loved ones from you. You've already hurt them bad enough, so get out of my life. The other thing is, bitterness is almost like suicidal in that you want to close in around yourself so that you can stay in this terrible, pitiful state that you're in, because somehow or another you have learned to comfort yourself in your bitterness. In other words, people don't want it to change. They don't want anybody there to help them. I mean, look what goes on in this situation. Ruth tells Naomi in verse 16 of Ruth chapter 1, she says, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Which is an interesting thing, because Naomi says, my God treated me bitterly. Look at this. And Ruth is like, well, I still like your God better than the gods of the Moabites. Chemosh is that God's name. So she said, thy God, my God, where thou diest will I die. There will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. And in verse 18, you would expect Naomi to say, thank the Lord for such a wonderful daughter-in-law as you. Yes, you may come with me. I just wanted to be sure you didn't turn back after we got there. I love you. Thank you. All that. But you know what? She didn't do that. Naomi in verse 18, after that great, great, often quoted two verses of 16 and 17 in Ruth chapter 1, you know what happens? Verse 18, when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. She just quit trying to tell her to go home. She didn't go, wow, praise the Lord. She just said, okay. I mean, she didn't even say okay. She just said, she just quit trying to convince her to go. Isn't that something? That's a terrible, terrible situation. But what you're seeing is that bitterness, number one, goes with you wherever you go. So Naomi's going to take it from Moab to Bethlehem, Judah. Number two, you're going to see that it puts a wedge between you and your loved ones who really would like to help if they can. I'll show you something else. Bitterness puts a wedge not only between you and your loved ones, but bitterness puts a wedge between you and God. Ruth chapter 1, verse 19, so they too went until they came to Bethlehem, and it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them and said, is this Naomi? And Naomi said unto them, call me not Naomi, that means pleasant, call me Mara, that means bitter, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. She's blaming God. I went out full, she says in verse 21, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Oh man, you talk about mad at God. She is mad at God. She goes on in verse 21, "Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me?" I mean, that's four times. She's blaming God in verse 20. "The Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me." Verse 21, "The Lord hath brought me home empty. The Lord hath testified against me. The Almighty hath afflicted me." Four times she refers to God, and always in a negative context. Now, I'm telling you what, that's bitterness. That's bitterness. And if you ever want to really understand the work of bitterness in your own life, you have finally got to get to a place where you are on your face before God, on your knees before God, on your feet before God, something, whatever posture you assume that gets you, I mean, where you know you are face to face with God Almighty. You have got to get face to face with Him, and you have got to realize, you must realize, you in your bitterness are mad at God. Right now I can hear you. I can hear you. I can hear you, though I can't see you, though I don't hear you audibly. I know what you're doing right now. When you hear that, you are denying it with every breath in your lung. You are denying that with every bone in your body. I'm not mad at God. I'm telling you, bitterness goes with you wherever you go. It puts a wedge between you and your loved ones. You have a daughter, you have a spouse, you have a mother, you have somebody in your life that has been there for you in the time of your bitterness, and you have wedged them. You're trying to push them away. And you know something? You have devoted so much time to thinking about your ill treatment, you have not realized that you're taking this out on God. You say, "I wouldn't do such a thing." Yes, you would, because it's human nature. When Adam fell in sin and the Lord caught him, the Lord asked him if he ate, and he said, "The woman that thou gavest me." See? He put God in there and blamed him before he ever said anything about what Eve did. "The woman that thou gavest me." As if if you hadn't given this woman to me, this wouldn't have happened. "The woman that thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the trees," blaming her, "and I did eat." You see how that is? Bitterness will turn you against God. Now listen, get honest with God today, tonight. Get honest with God and search your heart before the Lord. Let Him search your heart, like David said in Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. "And I believe with all my heart that He will show you you have turned your anger against Him, even though you are not courageous enough to admit it." Bitterness. Bitterness goes with you wherever you go. Puts a wedge between you and your loved ones. They're there to try to help you. Puts a wedge between you and God. And let me show you this. It blinds you to the blessings you do have. Bitterness blinds you to the blessings you do have. Look in verse 21. Naomi said, "I went out full." I'm talking about Ruth 1:21. "I went out full, and the Lord brought me home again empty." Really? She didn't come home empty. She came home with Ruth. You say, "Well, who is Ruth?" Ruth's just a Moabite woman. Are you kidding me? By the time you get to the end of the book of Ruth, which is just four chapters long, you know what everybody is saying about Ruth? Ruth ends up having a baby. And the people are speaking about Ruth, and they say, "Thy daughter-in-law," Ruth 4:15, "thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him." She went out with two, and they say she came back with the equivalent of seven, even better than seven. Boaz, in this chapter, you know about Boaz. He's the one that eventually ends up marrying Ruth. In Ruth chapter 3, verse 11, he says to Ruth, "All the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman." Thou art a virtuous woman. You know how hard it is to find a virtuous woman? Solomon said, "I've tried 1,000. I hadn't found one." Found one man out of 1,000, couldn't find a virtuous woman out of 1,000. Oh boy, she came back with a jewel. But she didn't know that. She was so bitter. I'm talking about Naomi. Naomi was so bitter about what happened when they were down there in Moab that she said to the people of Bethlehem, I went out full, and the Lord hath made me, brought me home again empty. Empty. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You have blessings of God in your life that you cannot see because you have been blinded by your bitterness. Bitterness blinds you to the blessings that you do have. You know what you need to do? You need to do what that old song says. Count your blessings. Name them one by one, and it will surprise you. It will amaze you what God hath done. Now, that's the work of bitterness, as you see it in this chapter. But you know something? Naomi means pleasant, and praise God, Naomi did not stay bitter. You ask, well, how did she get out? Well, the way she got out is the way you're going to get out. All right, here's what happened. First of all, how did Naomi get out of her bitterness? First of all, she didn't continue to hold it against God. In other words, she was upset with God, but she didn't hold it against God. And that's very important. I've told people before, listen, if you're mad at God, go ahead and admit it. If you want to take your fist and raise it up to God and say angry things to the Lord, he already knows your heart. You might as well just go ahead and do it. You say, well, why should I do that? Because if you will admit it and then confess it and forsake it, you can get past it. And Naomi, thank God, even though she was very upset when she got home, did not hold her case against God. Look in chapter 2, verse 20. I'm talking about Ruth chapter 2. Ruth chapter 2, look at verse 20. When they got into Bethlehem, Judah, Ruth went into the barley harvest and began to glean among the reapers, and she ended up in a field of a man named Boaz, who is a near kinsman. She didn't know it at the time. And the Lord really took care of her, and Boaz, you know, made sure that she had extra handfuls of purpose, the Bible says. So she came back, and she ended up with quite a load of barley. And Naomi found out, because Ruth told her, that Ruth had been gleaning in the fields of Boaz, which was a wonderful thing. And you know what Naomi said in Ruth chapter 2, verse 20? She said, blessed be the Lord, or blessed be he of the Lord who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. Naomi said unto her, the man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. Did you hear what she just said? She said, blessed be he of the Lord who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. You know what? She appreciated what Boaz did. She was thankful, and she appreciated what God did. Listen, you need to be thankful. You need to develop an attitude of gratitude, like one preacher said, and quit holding what happened in the past against God. Did you lose a son? Naomi lost two. Are you a widow? So was Naomi. But you know what? She did not stay in her pity party. And she did not hold it against God. What's the second thing she did? The second thing is that she went on with her life. Well, here's Ruth, and she's gleaning in the field of Boaz. Look at the matchmaker Naomi here. Ruth chapter 3, verse 1. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he went with barley tonight in the threshing floor. And Naomi cooks up a scheme whereby Ruth can let her intentions be known, that she would be willing to receive Boaz as her husband, so that they could have a male child together who would stand as the heir, as Naomi's heir, in Naomi's inheritance in Bethlehem, Judah. And that the fields of Mahlon and Chilion and Elimelech would then go to her grandchild through Ruth. And Boaz, she said, I believe is the one would do it. So, you know what? Naomi said, look, that stuff that happened in the past is past, but we got to keep on going. There's more life out in front of us. I am not going to stay stuck in the death of my sons and in the death of my husband. We're going to find a grandson around here through Ruth. Oh, boy, what a blessing. It just thrills my soul to hear what she did there. And then watch this. In chapter 3 and verse 18, you know what else she does? She trusts the Lord's providence. You know, it would be hard for her to trust the Lord after what happened when they went down to Moab, but you know what? The whole thing, Ruth went down there and let her intentions be known. Boaz thought it was a great thing because she's a virtuous woman. Ruth comes back and tells Naomi how well it went in the threshing floor that night. And then in Ruth chapter 3, verse 18, Naomi says to Ruth, "Sit still, my daughter." And sit still, my daughter. Not daughter-in-law, my daughter. "Until thou know how the matter will fall, for the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day." Sit still. You know what she's doing? She's trusting God to work this thing out. And that's a hard thing for a woman to do who's had a bitter experience with the Lord. But you know what? She trusts him providentially. And what happened? In Ruth chapter 4, verse 15, they got married. They had a baby. And in Ruth chapter 4, verse 15, they all say to Naomi in verses 14 and 15, "He shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thine old age, for thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him." You know what? The Lord restored her life. She ended up nursing the child. That child then had a son named Jesse, and Jesse had a son named David. Do you realize? This put her in the line of Jesus Christ. What a fabulous, fabulous outcome to such a sad, sad beginning. What I say to you today is, like Naomi, you can learn that you don't have to stay bitter. And you don't want to get bitter in hard valleys of life. Why? Because they lead to beautiful mountaintops. Don't you realize that the cross of Calvary results in the crown of glory of our blessed Savior Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? He had to go through Calvary to become our Savior and King. And like Naomi, you can leave off your bitterness, trust God, and let him restore thy life.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.